Oh boy. All right. Well, we have the Kellis article.
Remember the good old days when the main story of the show was us arguing over which Big 12 program was sexiest?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bury you there. I can't make sense of that quote still. But yeah, we got bigger fish to fry now. Okay. So Corey Sutton had a string of tweets earlier today, if you're just joining us, where he was upset about not being granted his release from K-State. One of those included referring to somebody, we presume it would be Coach Snyder, as a slave master, and not letting him go transfer after he announced that he was going to transfer about a month ago. I will read you the highlights here of this story. We're pretty much just reacting to this live and in color, as they say, just on the fly here. But here are the details, at least, about the transfer situation. Why we're seeing this on Twitter today is because K-State originally blocked all 35 schools that he wanted to transfer to, or they denied his release to a list of 35 schools that he presented to K-State. Sutton says, again, this is all via Kellis Robinette. Sutton says the list didn't contain any Big 12 schools or teams on future K-State schedules. Some of the schools were FCS and Division II, but K-State still blocked him everywhere. He appealed the ruling, and K-State upheld it today. So that's why we're seeing this today. His appeal was upheld, or the K-State side of it was upheld after his appeal today. So now, after he gives the information that K-State blocked 35 destinations, he goes on with some pretty scathing quotes here. He says, quote, Coach Snyder told me today that when I signed my letter of intent, that was my commitment to him, that I was going to be here for 4 years. He said, I heard that and told him coaches can leave, so why can't a player leave? Here we go. So the crux of this issue is he can transfer to another school of his choosing with or without a release, but he can only get financial aid if he receives his release from K-State. So that's pointed out by Kellis here in the article. Now, here's one of the most head-turning quotes from said article. This is Corey Sutton speaking again. Quote, there are so many things messed up with that program. Why would I ever go back? He goes into detail about what he was told when he came into the program. He said, my position coach, Andre Coleman, told me if I graduated from high school, I would come in and start as a freshman because we didn't have any receivers. Then I get here and we're deep at receiver. I don't mind competition, but I told the coaches I only wanted to burn my red shirt if I was going to be involved with half the plays. They said that wouldn't be a problem. They told me I was going to start and use me as a starter in practice. They promised me all this playing time. Then the game would start, and my position coach would grab me and tell me to stay on the sidelines and that I'm not starting because Coach Snyder doesn't want to play a freshman. I felt lied to. Sutton also said he was upset with coaches asking him to cut his dreadlocks and to wear certain clothes. The end of the article, more quotes from Sutton. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision. I thought about it for months. I told my coaches I was depressed there. I told my coaches I had to go to counseling there. They just didn't get it.
Okay.
That's a lot. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to digest. My initial reaction to this comes in two parts. I think blocking his transfer to 35 schools, if that really happened as he said, and especially if some of them are FCS and Division II, That seems, I'm trying to carefully choose my words here. I'm not crazy about hearing that if that information is true. Because, again, we're just getting one side of the story here. That's from Corey Sutton. The other side of this is a lot of his discussion about playing time. We sort of went through that when he announced that he was going to transfer, that the situation at receiver really changed a lot after he had come in. I mean, think about the 2015 season when K-State would have been recruiting him. They needed receiver help bad. If he were there in 2015, he would have played. He would have had a lot of playing time. I'm going to need to go back and cross-reference the dates there of when he committed and when they got Byron Pringle on board, because that was a huge factor in the depth at receiver, getting Byron Pringle. Well after Corey Sutton had come, they were able to get Carlos Strickland. And those two in particular, I think, are what really created the logjam at receiver, where he had to be looking and saying, all right, there are a lot of guys here in front of me, that are going to make this difficult to get on the field. And he did play. I mean, he played in the Stanford game. Like, he had some catches in the Stanford game after a nice spring game before the 2016 season, and it did look like he was going to play, and then it started to fade. He played less and less throughout the year. I would characterize a lot of this. I can understand why he's frustrated, and again, I can understand looking at it and wanting to transfer. I think if you're going to come out and really put the school on blast for that, there's an aspect of, hey, this is Division I Power 5 college football. They can't just really sit on their hands and not go get a Carlos Strickland if that becomes available, or a Byron Pringle if that becomes available. You're going to deal with some of that. I would chalk a lot of that up to, it's what happens when you have a big-time college football program and you need to win games. So I don't want to sound unsympathetic to him on that aspect of it, but that's the way that I lean, just hearing that information. Now, if there really was a promise made that you were going to start and then you don't start, I mean, that's one of those things in recruiting that I know people really don't like, and that wouldn't be the greatest thing in the world. And the other thing, I think it's somewhat just piling on, talking about them wanting to cut his hair and that type of thing. I would say to that, my just initial on-the-fly reaction here, you had to know what you were getting into with Bill Snyder's program. You can't wear hats in the building. Used to not be the color red, jewelry, that type of thing. You had to know that that was in the realm of possibility. So some of the specific complaints there, I'm not as sympathetic to, but I would say if that is bothering you and you want to go somewhere else, I would think you would be allowed to go somewhere else. Now, all that said, that is based on one side of the story. Let's hear from Kellis's article. We have not heard anything from the other side, from K-State. So one side of the story, that's my reaction to what Corey Sutton had to say. I guess I'll give you the floor if you have anything else to add
to
that.
No, I think that you summarized that pretty well. I think that it would sure seem to me like K-State will respond sometime within the next couple of days. I mean, I don't think that K-State would want this to sit out here and fester very much. You don't want these quotes getting nationwide, essentially, and I know that it's social media and they're going to spread and everything like that. But when you dig into some of the more damning elements here, there are so many things messed up with that program. Why would I ever go back? You know, I felt like Coach Snyder made a commitment to me that he was going to treat me the right way, and that's not what he did. Those are things that the school needs to get out in front of, and so I agree that the basis of his complaint is valid in terms of not being able to get out of his release at this time, but he does go on and just kind of rants in a way that that takes away a little bit of the validity from the whole thing just because of how angry he seems about every single aspect of the program.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Maybe not takes away from the validity. I would just say it comes across as more, you get frustrated by something, you're going to start viewing everything through a negative lens and just pile on. So I'm just not as worried about that. Yeah. This to me just seems very cut and dry, like a thing that happens at the Power 5 level in college football. If you're trying to win at a big-time level in major college football, these things will happen. The player is going to get frustrated then by all that. The player is going to want to transfer. Just usually the end result here is then just grant the transfer. He's gone. Wipe your hands of it. It's done. It happens in college football. But the difference here is that apparently, again, according to Corey Sutton, K-State has blocked the transfer to the 35 schools that he presented. So hopefully we'll be able to have more on this tomorrow. We've gone a bit long now. You can't be serious. We'll be cut short, but we'll get to that next to finish the show.